I'm a giver, giver. Damn right, I'm a giver, giver. Give you every inch of me. Return the favor whenever you please. I'm a giver. Oh, I'm only worried about you, you can finish me later. Oh, clear the table off, play it down, I'ma be your waiter. Till your body's dehydrated. Cause I'm the handyman giving you maintenance. A pleasure to have your acquaintance. I'm about giving you overtime. Stick to the beat like a cadence. Yeah, I'm an awesome moron, you see. Then I cherish every moment. Receive it.
Give it to you.
Receive it, cause I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
Giver.
That means I'ma make it up.
Giver.
That means I'ma make it up.
Give you every inch of me.
Eat it like groceries. That's the shit right there. That's Pooh Bear. I'm a giver. Y'all know what he's talking about, ladies. He's talking about eating it like groceries. Man, what's going on, family? How's everybody doing? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm back in the United States from Africa. I was in Africa last week doing the show, but I'm back now, ready to chop up game with the family. The phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in and chop up game with me. And what I'm going to do real quick is take that commercial break, and it's going to be very quick, but when I get back, we're going to chop up some good game right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize.
What's going on, fam? We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget, family, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, the greatest selling black history documentaries ever. And don't forget to check out my pay-per-view specials at MacLessons.com. I got a lot of pay-per-view specials there, and I got pay-per-view specials at TariqRadio.com. And I got a brand new pay-per-view special, a live lecture called Breaking the Cycle, that will be available in a couple of days for instant download. You can stream it online, so that's going to be on sale in a couple of days. A lot of good game in that. That was the lecture I recorded live in Toledo, Ohio recently. Dropping some real good game in that, family, so you're going to want to check that out. And I got a lot to talk about as far as my trip over to Africa. I discussed a lot of things on my live Ustream show, and I'm going to touch on some stuff on tonight's show. Let me get a couple of calls before I get the ball rolling. You dig? Let me see what we got here.
Hello?
Hey, what's up? Who's calling?
This is St. Lucia 24 from Worcester. Worcester, Massachusetts.
Winston, Massachusetts. All right, what's on your mind, man?
Not much, bro. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, I had a question for you. So you think the whole Netflix and chill kind of jokes and memes are kind of messing the game up a little bit?
You think, has it messed your game up?
No, I'm saying in general. You think it's messing the game up a little bit?
Nah. Just people talking shit on the internet. That don't really have any real bearing on the game. You know, it's just typical internet trendy shit. So, nah, you know, your mouthpiece still rules. You know, nothing can mess up the game if your mouthpiece is crisp. You understand that? If you got your shit together, you know what to say, you know how to handle yourself, you got confidence in your game, ain't no damn meme or any type of hashtag on the internet is going to throw a wrench in your ism. You feel me?
True.
There you go. All right, man. Thank you for the call,
thank you,
fam.
Tariq.
All right, brother. Yeah, I'm supposed to on my phone line. Hang this shit up, everybody. All right. So let me go into some stuff real quick. I was in Africa. I was in South Africa last week. Had a great time in South Africa. Great, great, great time in South Africa. Had a wonderful time out there in South Africa. Shout out to all the brothers and sisters who came to my lecture out there in South Africa. It was wonderful. I enjoyed being with the African family. It was absolutely wonderful out there. And I talked about, on my Ustream show, my experience there and what I did. I recorded an 8-minute mini documentary about my experiences there. And you guys can see it on YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in The Real Deal About South Africa. Now, we got it on YouTube and we got it on my Facebook page. And it's on Facebook. I uploaded it there. Now, on Facebook, you know, it damn near went viral. It's at like, I think, like 70,000 views already on Facebook. So it's circulating around and a lot of people are talking about it. And it's an 8-minute video of me going around Cape Town, South Africa, talking about my experience there. And all I'm doing is just basically filming what I see. And I talk about the economic division between whites and black people in Cape Town. When I'm traveling and going around Cape Town, all I see are a bunch of well-to-do white people and a bunch of black people who are subservient, who are workers. I don't see any black people doing any real shopping. I didn't see any black people owning anything, any stores, any major things. And I'm literally going around looking for it. I was going around looking for African restaurants and I was having a difficult time. I was going around looking for well-to-do African brothers and sisters, but I kept running into shanty towns, brothers and sisters who were in poverty, brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying that to diss my brothers and sisters out there. I had a great time, and brothers and sisters, they got a very beautiful and wonderful spirit out there. But we cannot ignore the situation out there, which is still apartheid. Apartheid is alive and well in South Africa. So I do this video, and I'm showing how beautiful the country is. The natural beauty of that country is astonishing, and I recommend that people go. Definitely go to South Africa and visit. But one thing we will not do is ignore the domination of white supremacy there. That's why, I'm not the kind of person who will ignore white supremacy. Yeah, I don't ignore white supremacy. I don't play that little game. And, you know, what I saw there was very disturbing, how black people are living there in these what's called townships, which are really concentration camps. And again, I advise, if you haven't seen the video that I did talking about The Real Deal About South Africa, I advise you to look at that now after you hear today's show. That's going to give you a very real and accurate ideal of what it is like out there in Cape Town in particular. I didn't go to Johannesburg and all those other places, which I'm going to go to because a lot of people want me to come out and do a lecture in Johannesburg, so I'm definitely going to have to come out there. All of my Johannesburg promoters, y'all hit me up and holler at me and let's see what we can work out. But I got the video up and a lot of people are commenting on it. A lot of people like the video. And there are a handful of people who got a little upset about the video I put up of me filming my experience out there in Cape Town, South Africa. A couple of people got a little upset. And some of these people who got upset were people who claim to be from South Africa, but who are living in other places. That was very interesting. The people, and it was only a few of them, about three or four. It was a few people's like, hey, man, you know, I'm from South Africa and this video is fucked up. Oh, man, this video is messed up. Y'all got us looking bad. Oh, man, this video, that's not how it really is. All of us ain't living like that. And I noticed the people who would say that, it was one female, I'm going to get on her in a minute, but she lives in Dubai now. And it was one African coon, because there's some cooning that's real heavy in Africa, by the way. There's the coon train is in Africa too. I'm not talking about all, but the coon train is there. So it was this coon nigga who was from right next to South Africa. He was from Zimbabwe, but he's living in Australia now. And on this nigga's Facebook page, this nigga is doing nothing but kissing white women. He's hugging and kissing damn near every white woman in Australia. So that gives you an idea of that nigga's mentality. And he's whining and complaining. Oh, this bullshit. This video bullshit. And the reason why, and I challenge all of the people who were upset with my video. I told them, look, tell me anything I said or portrayed in this video that's inaccurate. These are not hired actors I got. This is not CGI or some computer generated shit that I did. All I did was press record and just start walking around. Now, if they got this thing where you just want to hide the truth, that's on you. I'm not in the hide the truth business. All I did was press record and walk around. And what it is, we got a lot of people around the world, even here in the United States, but a lot of our African brothers and sisters, especially when they go to other cities and countries, they got this thing where they are embarrassed about the real deal, the real situation in their home countries. There's an embarrassment there. Even I noticed that when I was there. I had one main tour guide, my brother Tingo. Shout out to Tingo. Real good dude. Now, Tingo's the real deal. He tells you the real deal. He ain't under no delusions. He's one of these people who's very honest. You know, he like, this some fucked up shit out of here. You know, he knows the game. But I had other people, other brothers at the hotel that I was staying in. You know, I was chopping it up with them, talking to them about Cape Town in South Africa. And when I would ask about where the well-to-do black people are, there was a sense of embarrassment there because it was very difficult for them to point them out. And when I would talk about the extreme levels of poverty that seems to be damn near exclusive to the black people there was they kind of changed the subject. They was like, well, you know, some of us are doing okay. And I was like, okay, where? I want to see some of these people that's so-called middle class and all these African brothers and sisters in South Africa. And I'm talking about in large numbers who are doing well. Because a lot of times when cats go to other countries, usually they're allowed to get a couple of resources extra from the other people in their community. So they go to these other countries and they're so grateful to get out of poverty, they don't want to tell the real deal and talk about systematic racism and say what's really going on in their country, because they don't want to ruffle any white feathers. So when they go up here to Dubai or to London or to France or to Australia, when they get around these white people, they don't want to ruffle any feathers by seeming like they're resentful somehow. They're extremely grateful. So they're like, you know, things are bad at home, but it's getting better. You know, it's all kumbaya. I'm not mad. I'm just thankful I'm here. So when people like me come along and tell the truth, those niggas will jump up and get offended. Oh, don't say that. Oh, don't say that, brother. Don't say that now, because then you're going to make the white people uncomfortable. That's what it's really about. That's what it's really about. And also, there's an embarrassment that I'm seeing with some of my South African brothers. It's very difficult and it's very embarrassing for people to say, hey, look, we are a majority in our home country and some white supremacists came in and they took us over. That's kind of embarrassing for a lot of people to admit. So their response, which is a very incorrect response, is to pretend that everything is okay. To pretend that there's some type of progress. And black people over here in America, they do that too. But it's very severe over in Africa, I noticed that. for people to pretend that there's some level of progress. Ain't no progress, man. As my brother Plies would say, no, man. Ain't no progress. Ain't no progress here. Ain't no progress there. And if we're going to deal with the system of white supremacy and talk about bringing justice to replace white supremacy, we're going to have to be very honest about the situation we're in. The situation is, in South Africa, they got black folks, again, I've said this in my video and I said this on Ustream, they got black people living in what's called townships, which are basically concentration camps. That's all they are. See, we got to stop playing games with the words and the labels that the white supremacists tell us. See, white supremacists, they got a habit of raping us and molesting us and then telling us it's not rape and molestation. See, back in the day, they used to be very open about it. Like, hey, nigga, come here, let me rape you. And like, God damn, I don't want to be raped, you know. But they rape you anyway. So now what they do, they say, well, look here, nigga. I ain't raping you no more, but I'm going to still do what I've been doing. But this time it's not called rape. I'm tickling you. Yeah, I'm just putting my finger up in you, but that's not rape. That's tickling. Rape is over. Rape is, that's a thing of the past. Tickling is in. But you say, well, shit, it kind of looks like rape. No, no, it's not rape. Just because my dick is in your mouth and your ass, that's not rape. No, no, this is tickling. Don't it feel good? Oh, ha, 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 ha. No, ain't that funny? I'm tickling you, ha, ha. That's the new game that they play. So they do the same thing, but they just call it something else. You know, lynching, they say, well, ain't no lynching no more. Lynching is over. Now they call it police brutality, which is lynching, same thing. Police killing black people, that's lynching. You executing people without constitutional due process, that's lynching. Nothing more, nothing less. When they say, well, slavery is over, that's a thing of the past. White supremacy is slavery. The prison industrial complex is slavery. When you have to be incarcerated and work by force, which is what they do, that's slavery. And what's happening in South Africa is still apartheid. Now, some South African brothers will argue you down and say, well, apartheid is over. No, it's not. Just because they stop saying it don't mean it's over, because they're still doing it. The white people on top and the black people on bottom. Everywhere I went, there were white people shopping, white people drinking wine and champagne. They got the best wines out there in South Africa. They're driving in Range Rovers, living the good life. And the majority of black folks that I saw are living in these concentration camps with no water, no electricity, no toilets, no nothing. And these concentration camps are basically tin houses, tin foil houses made out of scrap metal and wood. Just some thrown together shanties. That's the reality. And that's based on white supremacy. And that's straight up apartheid. And the thing is, I was arguing with some people on Facebook about it. Some chick who's living in Dubai telling me, well, you shouldn't use the word concentration camp. Those townships are not concentration camps. And I was like, ma'am, how are they not concentration camps? Concentration camps are places where people are forced into and they can't get out. And they don't allow you out because of economic strangulation. See, back in the day, they would physically force you into these places and physically wouldn't let you out. But now they run that game and say, well, apartheid's over. You can leave. You can do whatever you want to do. But now you don't have no resources. See, they create an apartheid system with the resources. So now they give you the so-called right to leave. But now economically, you don't have the ability to leave. So you're like, okay, I can go, but I have no money. I don't even have a car. Not only do I not have money, do I not have a car, where the fuck am I going? And where am I going without money or transportation? Free to do what? What am I going to do? Hey, I don't know. I gave you your freedom. Everything is equal now. Everything is all right. There's no apartheid. So if you can't pull up your bootstraps, I guess something's wrong with you, huh? See, that's that game that they run on African people globally. And coons, they buy that. So stop buying that and accept the game and accept what it is. You're in a system of apartheid. You're in a system of white supremacy. And then this is something that a lot of the African people I was arguing with, they like to do this whole point to the token game. They say some shit like, well, all of us ain't like that, which I never said all, but all they can do is point to one or two token black families who are not in shanty towns. So they'll say, well, there's a couple of black families 800 miles away in Cape Town who's doing good. So there is progress. That's tokenism. If you have three niggas doing good and 50 million black folks fucked up in the game, that ain't progress, bitch. That's that whole thing with putting Mandela in the presidency there. They put one black person, Mandela, they put him as the president and pretended everything was all right. Hey, we're not racist no more. Mandela's the president. Now all the wealth and the resources are going to stay in our pocket. But hey, Mandela's the president, so we can't be racist, huh? And the United States saw that and they said, hey, we're going to do that too. 20 years later. And that's why we got Obama. Hey, we're not racist. We got Obama. Now, he can't do a single solitary thing for black folks, but he's there. He's black. So y'all got to live vicariously through him, which is a con game. Y'all stop falling for that con game. We are still in a Jim Crow system here, and they are still in an apartheid system there, which are nothing more than code words for white supremacy. And some of these African cats, they kept sending me links of the top 10 smartest South African black people in the tech world. I don't give a fuck about none of that stuff. Don't send me token articles. Don't send me little token articles. Look, I know we are brilliant. We got brilliant people all over the world. African people, we have brilliant minds. We're the oldest people on the planet. But don't send me tokenism articles talking about the little African kid who built this and the African dude who did good on the stock market and all that, because they do not represent the mass majority of black folks. That's what I'm concerned with, how the majority of black folks are living under this system of white supremacy. Y'all get off that tokenism shit, because what it is, y'all want to be that special token nigga your damn self. And you can only be that token nigga if the white supremacists give you the green light. And that's what we got to stop doing, waiting on that green light from the white supremacists. Because all that shit about it ain't that bad, there's progress, and that African female kept telling me there was progress. And the more she was talking, she ended up really revealing what the real deal was. The more people talk, sooner or later the real shit is going to come out. So what she eventually said what her real problem was. She was like, well, you know what, Tariq? That video you put out, it's going to make people have resentment to white South Africans. I was like, there it is right there. Bingo, there it is right there. Negro bedwinch alert. Protecting white fucking daddy. That's what it's all about right there. Y'all can go to my Facebook page and see the conversation. There's thousands of comments, by the way. And if you scroll down, I think you can find the conversation on my Facebook page. But that's what it boiled down to. Don't talk bad about white daddy because people will be mad at him and then he'll take his anger out on me. Then I won't get my delicious butter biscuit. It's that, oh, don't get him riled up because you're going to make it bad on me. You're going to make it bad on me. If y'all remember an interview I did with a woman named Wendy Wright, that's the first time I did a whole show about the Negro bedwinch mentality. This was in 2012. I think you can go to YouTube or go to the Mac Lessons Radio page to find this interview I did with a radio host in DC named Wendy Wright. Some of my diehard listeners, y'all remember that. Y'all remember who she was. We were talking, and we're talking about Hidden Colors, because, you know, Hidden Colors had come out and, you know, was killing the game. So she wanted to do an interview, and this woman was very antagonistic while we're doing the interview. We're doing the interview talking about Hidden Colors, and she had a problem with the movie. And I'm like, well, what problem do you have? And she was basically like, well, hidden movies like Hidden Colors, that's messing it up with white people for her, because it's going to make white people angry. This woman was saying this. She literally was saying this. You movies like this, you're messing it up for me. That's when I start really going in on the Negro bedwinch mentality. Because they don't want to get white mommy and white daddy mad. So black folks got this thing where you just want to build a nice little slave quarter somewhere where you can get your little butter biscuits and think everything is going to be cool and let's just not rock the boat. And then you try to reprimand other black people who are rocking the boat. Damn that. Because they're not letting you live in that little slave quarter no more. So this woman trying to tell me that South Africa is progressing ain't no progress. Bitch. Where you have white folks out there drinking tea and wine, champagne, and eating lobster and steak, and I'm driving down the street looking at black children on the side of the road bending over with their pants around their ankles taking a shit on the road. I saw that several times out there. You shouldn't have wealth on one side of the street and people taking shits in the street like dogs, because that's what dogs do. Dogs shit in the street. Human beings shitting in the street should not exist in a so-called civilized city or country. So don't, if anybody tries to sell you on the lie that South Africa somehow progressed and everything is together, they're a goddamn lie. And that's the reality of it. And that's where we need to start. Because when I was over there, I gave money to an orphanage, because there's an orphanage over there that had like 59 kids in a 4-room house. That was in the shanty towns. Basically, this sister was running it out of the kindness of our heart. You understand? So we need each other. The Africans need us. We need them. We need to link up, because white supremacy is a global thing. So melanoid empowerment should be a global thing. And I challenge anybody to say I'm lying. Any of you African coons, or even American coons, or bedwinches, or you buck dancing niggas that done moved out of South Africa and you're cupcaking with a white woman somewhere in Germany somewhere, prove me wrong if anything I'm saying is incorrect. And if all these so-called black folks are doing good out there in Cape Town, post a fucking video of them. Post a video. I was telling people that on Facebook. Do what I did. Get your camera phone out. Film a community. I ain't talking about your uncle who got a good job. No. I ain't talking about one or two. I'm talking about a whole community. Show me a community of a bunch of people over there that's just doing wonderful. A community of them. Because I can show you a community of people living in fucking concentration camps. You dig? Because truth be told, man, you know what it is? You know, looking at South Africa, the white supremacists, they're about to turn Africa into a new America. They're about to gentrify Africa while you bullshitting. The way that shit was going down, so look, I look at patterns, and I don't keep my eye off the white supremacists. When I go somewhere, I do not get distracted. I keep my eye on white supremacy. See, black people, are easily distracted. The white supremacists love doing stuff like promoting the new black dances. They promote parties. They make us party and dance. See, we spend a lot of time partying and dancing, especially when shit gets fucked up. The worse things get, the more we start partying and dancing. Remember, back during the first Jim Crow era, you know, black folks did a lot of dancing and singing. During the first Jim Crow era, there was when black folks were getting lynched and hung, there was a lot of singing and dancing going on. Even in the early 60s, see, before all the riots and all that, there was a lot of dancing. We had all types of dances, the twists, the mashed potato, the watusi, all that shit we had. We're dancing it up. You dig? And even now, with all this shit going on, black people getting shot and killed on a daily basis, you notice there's a new dance that comes out every fucking week with black folks. The whip, the nay-nay, the dab, the Millie Rock. We got a new fucking dance every damn week. We out here getting slaughtered, and we got dances every week. See, that's escapism, and the white supremacists, they will promote those dances all day. They'll even do them with you. I see white people on the ESPN doing the damn dab and all this old stuff. You can dab and whip and nay-nay, but let's be on something where we're going to empower ourselves too. We hitting the Kwan. We got to dance every fucking week. Like children. Anything to escape dealing with the situation. But again, I focus on the people running the show, which are the white supremacists. And over there in Africa, it looks like they're about to start gentrifying Africa. Africa is a very naturally beautiful place. It's just a naturally beautiful place, beautiful landscape, all the resources in the world there. So the white supremacists, they're getting there. They getting up in there. They're getting comfortable up in there. They're going to start gentrifying more spots. Africa is going to be the new America, where white people are going to be dominating and black people are going to be like the Native Americans are here. You're going to start getting phased out. You dig? But the thing is, there is no progress. Bitch, ain't no progress. Ain't no progress here. And another thing that the white supremacists will do, they will elevate coons to justify further oppression. And that's the thing, family, you got to be very careful. When you see the white supremacists really, really elevating blatant coons, because you got a lot of soft shoe cooning that goes on with the Stephen A. Smith. You know, he tries to go full coon. He's gone full coon. But the white supremacists, they're weary of him, because then he tries to flip-flop a little bit. You know, you got some of these soft shoe coons. They'll coon and then come around the black folks like, hey, you know, I was just saying what need to be said. You know, we need to do some things in the community. You know, they try to play that double agent shit. And the white supremacists, sometimes they need real deal, hardcore coons, blatant coons. And the blatant coons are there to justify further oppression. During the 1930s, when black people were being lynched at an all-time high, when black people were being denied stuff like Social Security and certain jobs, they needed to justify that with the white public, because again, they didn't want any white people feeling any kind of guilt, because naturally, as a human being, when you see another group of human beings being oppressed blatantly, you're going to be somewhat sympathetic towards that if you have any type of sympathy or any sympathetic blood in your veins. You're going to look at that and be like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. But if they can come up with a way to justify it and make it okay in your mind, they will do that. And in the 1930s, what they would do to justify oppressing black people as a group, they would elevate certain coons. And one coon they elevated was a coon named William Perry, who's known as Stephen Fetchit. Stephen Fetchit was an actor who gained a lot of prominence in the 1930s. He was in a lot of movies in the 1930s. Now, Stephen Fetchit was the first black actor to become a millionaire. Out of all the black actors in the world, this was the first one to become a millionaire. And basically, he was a full-fledged, straight-up-and-down coon. An unapologetic coon. I mean, this nigga was the prototypical coon. He would walk around with the slave talk, head down. Hey, Mr. Master, what you gonna do? It was crazy. But white supremacists loved him. And that made them say, oh, I love him. So we should, any people like that, we should oppress them. Look at them. Look at Stephen Fetchit. We should oppress them. And then again, in the 1950s, when people in white society were getting these home loans that black people couldn't get, which started right in the late 1940s, this is when the home loans started to come in, but in the 1950s, this is when we started to see all of these all white suburbs pop up all around the country. The white middle class, as we know it, was created in the 1950s. That's why white supremacists love talking about the 50s. Whenever the white supremacists talk about the good old days, they're talking about the 1950s. I remember being a kid in the eighth grade in my little middle school. It was a so-called integrated school. Basically, they funneled all the black kids into special ed. Luckily, I wasn't funneled in there because my mom wouldn't sign off on no shit, even if they tried. But one thing I noticed, they would always have 50s parties. They would always say, hey, on this day, everybody come to school dressed up like people in the 1950s. You know, come to school with the penny loafers on and they were real big, the white staff and the white kids and all. They were real big on this whole 1950s bullshit. And I remember as a kid, and some of my older players out here who are old enough to remember, who were around in the late 70s, early 80s, there were shows like Sha-Na-Na. Y'all remember that? It was this show that was paying homage to the 1950s. And you even have movies like Back to the Future. That Back to the Future was a movie that was paying homage to the 50s. So they're real, real big on that whole 50s thing. The 50s was a great time for the white supremacists. Because that's when they had all these all-white suburbs. They had all the jobs on lock. The schools were firmly racially segregated. Black folks were in check. Black people were firmly placed into ghettos. And in order to justify that, starting in the 1950s, a television show, one of the most popular shows on television at the time, was Amos and Andy. Amos and Andy was a show, these two coon dudes, which used to be played by white actors on the radio. There was some white actors who would pretend to be these coon black folks that would do a radio show. But when it got to television, they got some black actors to play the coon roles. So Amos and Andy were these two black dudes who were trying to own businesses, but they were so stupid and they would mispronounce words and they would be fumbling and bumbling around and just making up words as they went along. This is just indubitably, I do declare, you know, it's all that stuff that the white supremacists love seeing. So the white supremacists saw that. They were like, oh, yes, yes. So that's why we shouldn't allow them to come to our schools. Amos and Andy. That's why we shouldn't allow them to move next door to us. Amos and Andy. So now I don't feel so bad treating these Negroes wrong after watching Amos and Andy. And it's just harmless fun, you know, it's just, it's a comedy. That's how they promote it. But shit like that is very dangerous. When they put out coons, blatant coons like that, that's a very dangerous thing. Now, fast forward to today. Now, you got Donald Trump out here so-called running for president. And Donald Trump, he's starting to scare a lot of people in the dominant society, or not dominant society, but other non-white groups too. Because now, these other non-white groups are being thrown under the bus by him and his constituents and his following. These Muslim groups, these Hispanic groups, Arab, Syrian, all these groups are being thrown under the bus by the whole Trump thing. So now all of these other groups are scraping around now trying to make these Nazi comparisons to Donald Trump, because Donald Trump came out and said, well, we shouldn't let Muslims in the country. We should have tracking devices on them and all that. You know, that's that old Nazi shit. But the thing is, Trump has been talking that Nazi shit. When it came to black folks, see, people let it slide when it was just black folks. Trump was doing his fuckery too. All my New York people, they know what I'm talking about. 25 years ago in New York, Trump put out full page ads demonizing a group of black men called the Central Park Five. All my New York brothers and sisters who were around during that time in the late 80s, they remember this. There were these five brothers who were falsely accused of raping and beating a white woman. So they had a lynch mob out for them. These brothers were falsely accused, and eventually they got released from jail and they got a big cash settlement from the city of New York. But Trump would put out ads talking about how these black folks need to be executed, the whole shebang. And that was one of the reasons really why they got convicted, because of those ads Trump put out. And those guys could have gotten killed in prison. But what happened? The real guy who did the rape came out and confessed and said he acted alone. So Trump has always been on that bullshit. Trump has always been on that. So now, because see, y'all have to understand this, with evil don't have a light switch. There's not an off and on switch for evil. The system of white supremacy is evil. That's why I go in on it so hard. I don't want a comfortable place up under the system. We need a system of justice. Evil don't turn on and off. Evil is something that spreads. Evil is like a cancer. And you think when people treat and you allow people to treat black people in an evil manner, I don't want to hear you complain when that evil starts spilling over to your groups. When it starts spilling over to the Hispanic groups and the Arab groups and all that, now everybody wants to run and do the kumbaya thing. Hey, Trump is talking about us minorities. We need to get together. No. When he was shitting on us, y'all wasn't saying nothing. Hold your own nuts. Because the thing is, these white supremacists will start putting out blatant coons to justify what they really want to get down and do. They want to start being honest about their white supremacy. And Trump, they're rallying behind him. A lot of the white supremacists are rallying behind him because he's saying the stuff that they really want to say, and he's saying it in a bold manner. He's being very blatant about some of his white supremacist views, and a lot of the white supremacists like that. They want a new Hitler. Remember, when Hitler came to prominence in Germany, people supported him. All that crazy shit he was talking, he couldn't have done it without the support of millions of people. And people are supporting Trump. So when Trump comes out and brings out black people, now Trump has brought out these two black women, and these two black women seem like they are paid by somebody to put on this coon routine. These two women named Diamond and Silk, and they're sisters. I think they're from North Carolina. And he recently brought them out in his rally. They put out a video, which I think was promoted by the white supremacists. I think this is my conjecture, that they paid these women who are actresses. They paid these women to act extremely coonish, because this little routine they're putting on is a coon routine. Somebody told them, hey, we need you to act as niggerish as possible. They gave them some money and they're doing it. And they're doing it to justify further oppressing black people. Let me play the clip. I played this one clip on my show on Sunday on Ustream. And I'm going to play it again. Now, this is a clip of them showing up at a Trump rally. And this was all staged. Trump acted like these women just kind of popped up by surprise. This is bullshit. This was something that was planned. He's faking, acting surprised. And if you look at the video is on YouTube. There were a lot of white people in the background. They're laughing at the women, because basically they out there cooning, talking loud. And this is it right here.
How great are they? How great are they? I turn on my television one night and I see these two on television. I say, they are the greatest. What is it? They became an internet sensation. I hope you've monetized it a little bit. You want to do a little.
Now, there's some old overweight. Bunny ruckus, you know, go back to the show I did about the bunny ruckus mentality. The classic bunny ruckuses, overweight, middle age, got on funky wigs.
Little routine, come on, go ahead.
And then Trump said, hey, go ahead and do your routine.
First of all, I'm glad that the media can see us and all. See them? There they go.
I see them.
I want everybody to know.
Yes.
That we stand behind Donald J. Trump.
Yes, we do, baby.
And basically, all they're doing is just talking loud. They're not saying anything deep. They're not really saying anything funny. But they're doing these over-the-top, coon, stereotypically loud gestures. And the white supremacists, they're just eating it up. Now, why do they just keep clapping? Because these women are just yelling like two plantation coons. Yeah, somebody's in the chat room said they're acting. Yes, they're acting. All coons are acting. Go to Hidden Colors 3. What did Paul Mooney say? Nobody's born a coon. It takes work and practice to be a coon. All coons are acting. Of course they're acting. That's what makes you a coon. You acting like something other than yourself. Cooning is a very unnatural thing. Cooning is a defense mechanism.
And this is going to be our next president of these United States.
Yes. Yes.
How? The silent majority has spoken, baby.
Yes. We've spoken.
Don't get it twisted.
That's right.
Oh, God. It's painful to watch this. And the white supremacists are there just chuckling it up. They're eating it up. They love it. We ain't made no progress, family. Ain't no progress, bitch. This sounds like some shit from the 1930s. What's the difference between that, these plantation mammies yelling like some slaves, and a movie from the 1930s? What's
you don't what's, care what folks says about this family? I does. I has told you that you can always tell a lady, but the way that she eat in front of folks like a bird. And I ain't aiming for you to go to Mr. John Wilkins's and eat like a field hand and gobble like a hog.
Fiddle dee dee. Ashley Wilkes told.
That's what they sound like. That's Gone with the Wind. That's some slaves and Gone with the Wind. That's what they sound like.
Now listen, he gonna put-
gonna put that wall up. Now, they made them say this. They told them to go out there and act like a couple of plantation mammies.
And he gonna build it tall.
He gonna build it tall.
And it's gonna protect us all.
He gonna protect us all.
We don't want this country to fall, do we?
No, we don't want it to fall. No.
Build that wall, Donald J. Trump.
Build that wall. Build it.
Build that wall. Build that wall. My God. Now, stuff like that, when they start putting blatant coons out there like that, when they put blatant coons out there like that, yelling and laughing, build that wall. And one of them, her eyes, she bucking her eyes. When they do that, they're sending a message. And again, go look at movies from the 1930s. It's the same thing, like this.
Ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies.
That's a movie from the 1930s. They sound just the same. When they start putting coons like that on TV, yelling, waving your head, you're bucking your eyes. Think, why are they doing that? Think about it. The white supremacists just don't do shit for the sake of doing it. There's always a rhyme and reason for the white supremacists to do stuff. There's always a reason for them to do stuff. What they're doing, they're not trying to court the black vote. Let's be very clear. Putting some Sambos like that, some Negro bedwinch, mammy, butter biscuit eating coonettes, they're definitely not trying to get the black vote, because most black people are repulsed by that behavior, and the white supremacists know this. They know good and well that that's not going to win the black vote. Seeing a couple of Sambos out there embarrass the shit out of black people, that's not going to win the black vote. So why do you think they're really putting them out there like that to act a goddamn fool like they're on a plantation? They're putting them out there so that the white supremacists in charge can say, hey, look, because they do everything in code. And the code is, hey, look, this is why we should continue to support police who shoot these niggas. This is why we should support the judges and the prosecutors who let niggas and mammies like this die. Look at them. Look at them. Look at how they're acting in front of us right now like fucking monkeys. Look at them. That's why you support your police. White supremacy, they do things in codes. They do things in codes, and they talk in codes. And they're putting them out there to justify further oppression. Because when they put these mammies out there and pretend that they like them, remember, these are the same hood rat women that they will criticize for being the problem in black society. When somebody gets shot, if a kid gets shot, they'll say, well, look at his loud ghetto mammy mom. That's the reason why he got shot. Look at who he was raised by. That's what they try to do with our brother Tamir Rice, the little boy who was shot. They try to do that with his mom. They try to point to Samaria's, her jail record and all the shit that she had going on to justify killing the child. That's what they use. They look at that mother. Look at the mom. She's so ghetto. She was on welfare. She was loud, had a funky weave. Look at her. That's why her kid got killed, because he was raised by her. Y'all can't play this game. That shit is very dangerous, having those coonettes out there like that. And these chicks, they do other videos with all that cooning. They got a whole video channel of them cooning. Here's another video channel of them talking about Black Lives Matter and all this
stuff. Hey, y'all. Okay, so I'm a little pissed off today, okay? Uh-huh. I'm beyond pissed. I am mad as hell today.
Oh, snap.
Okay, so yesterday,
yeah.
Donald Trump was at a rally,
uh-huh.
and you had one little lone protester, oh. like the lone wolf,
okay.
gonna stand up, and I don't know what the heck he was shouting,
yeah.
but gonna stand up, and they had to escort his behind out of the rally.
That's right.
So now you got it all over.
I'm playing this just to give you guys I really hate listening to this coon nigga shit. I'm just playing this to give y'all a reference, but coon nigga shit just drains my energy. This, because I'm looking at the video and the chick, one of them, just her eyes just bugging out, bucking her eye. That's right. Just laying on the coonery so thick.
The news that's saying a Black Lives Matter movement protester was roughed up as he was exited as they got him out the building.
Okay.
Now here's my deal.
Here's the deal.
When you bring your behind to a Donald Trump rally,
that's right.
You sit your behind down.
Yes.
You shut up.
Yes.
And you listen.
That's right.
And see, had you sat there and you listened,
yes.
you would have learned that this man is looking out for you.
That's right.
This man wants to bring a job back for you.
Hello.
Where you can thrive again in
yes.
this country. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you should have been there. Listen, this is the only guy that's looking out for your behind.
That's right.
But oh no, he gets up in front of a rally
uh-huh.
and he stands up, and I don't know if he was shouting Black Lives Matter or what.
Now, you hear what these two coonettes just said. It was they're talking about this one brother who went to a Black Lives, not a Black Lives, but it was a brother who went to a Trump rally, and they beat the dude up. They jumped the dude and all that and threw him out. Some people there jumped the dude. And these two plantation mammies, they did what plantation mammies would do. Back in slavery, plantation mammies would talk down the bucks. They would talk down the male slaves from acting out. Hey, oh, hold on now there, Fiddler. Hold on there, Fiddler. Don't you get mad now. Don't you get massa mad now. Massa takes care of you. Massa got the job for you. Nah, don't you snap at massa now. That was one of the jobs of the mammy. On the plantation. That was one of the jobs, which was to keep the other slaves, particularly the male slaves, in check. You sit your behind down now, and don't you get massa mad now. It's 2015. And it sounds like some niggas from 1815.
But keep in mind,
yes.
what he should have did, if you think that your life mattered this, that much,
yes.
why wasn't you out there
why?
In Chicago with Jamil
yeah.
in that alley
yeah.
trying to find his killers, letting them know that his Black life matter?
Why?
Or how about shouting that in your own neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm quite sure that their crime took place
yes.
while you was probably at that rally.
Yes.
You should have been there protesting
right.
that your Black life mattered there.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about going to that White House?
How about?
Standing in front of the White House.
Yes.
Shouting your Black lives matter to our Black president.
That's
that
right.
seemed unconcerned about you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to a Donald Trump rally,
yes.
don't get it twisted,
don't
baby.
Get it twisted,
you
baby.
Sit down and you shut up and you take notice and you listen,
that's
okay?
Right.
Because in his rally,
right.
it's all lives matter.
What about black on black crime? What about black on black crime?
Coon trade is coming. Coon trade is coming.
What about black on black crime?
Coon trade is coming. Coon trade is coming.
Where the white women at?
Coon trade is coming. Coon trade is coming.
All white peoples ain't bad.
Coon trade is coming. Coon trade is coming.
We is our own worst enemy.
Coon trade is coming.
What about black? Whenever you see a Negro talk about what about black on black crime, that you got a certified coon in your midst. You got a coon suspect in your midst. But again, family, when the white supremacists are starting to elevate their coons, you better keep your eye on their asses. Also, another thing, family, you got to start doing, because I saw a video recently of there was some protesters somewhere. I forgot what city it was in. Somebody posted the video on my Facebook page, and it was a teen dude. He was a little skinny dude, and he had his girl out there with him, and they were protesting. There was this big white dude who was a former Marine or whatever, he was protesting for the cops or whatever by himself, and then the white dude confronted the black guy and his girl. He was cussing him out. Yeah, fuck you, I fuck you up, you fucking black son of a bitch, you fucking spider monkey. He was talking mad shit to the black dude, trying to egg the black guy on and threatening to beat him up, threatening to beat his chick up and all this old stuff. And when the white supremacists start doing stuff like that, you got to be very careful, because a lot of times these cats are low-key armed, and what they're trying to do is pull a Zimmerman on you. They'll try to egg you on to do something to them so that they can probably try to shoot you or harm you and then play the victim role. So what you're going to have to do, family, if you ever confronted blatantly by a white supremacist, now your first natural instinct is to whoop ass, but you got to be very tactful. What you do, especially children, because the white supremacists are cowards and they target the weakest targets they can find, which are women and children. Let your children know, and all my young people out there, if a white supremacist is confronting you, or is one of these Zimmermans or whoever, you get on your phone immediately and call 911. You get 911 on the phone, and you keep the phone on through the whole interaction, because, see, they have to record those calls. They record 911 calls. You record the interaction. You go into victim mode with the cop. Now, you have a brick or something in you, but you get that cop on the phone. You get that 911 on the phone, and you beat him to the punch, because that white supremacist is going to play the victim at some point. No, stop. Somebody's typing in 911 as a joke. Nigga, no. Listen to what the fuck I'm saying. I'm telling you some real shit. Because 911, if you call them, they record the call. So you want to keep a record of what's going on so you can justify defending yourself instead of having them lie on you. See, the white supremacists, they use 911 as a weapon. And what you do, you get on that phone and, hey, 911, I'm being victimized. There's a white supremacist who is armed trying to threaten my life. Now you get them on that phone, and you make that call, and you make that report. Now, once you make that call, you make that report, you keep them on the phone, and then you start whooping ass. But you get that call in, because I see a lot of videos of black folks just arguing for 5 minutes with these white supremacists. And the white supremacists, they're waiting on you to do something. There was another video, I talked about this before, where this black dude and the white dude was on a bus, and the white dude kept talking shit to the black dude. Yeah, you fucking pussy. You fucking pussy. I'll fucking beat your ass, man. And the black dude is like, man, you need to get on off me, man. Get on off me, man. And the white dude is just like, yeah, you ain't gonna do shit, dude. Look at you, you fucking pussy. You fucking pussy. You ain't gonna do shit, man. You fucking coward. The white dude just kept talking shit to the brother. White dude kept talking shit. The black dude moved to the other side of the bus. He's like, man, fuck this shit. The black dude, he's in the front of the bus chilling. The white dude still in the back talking shit. Leah, you better fucking run. We get off this bus, I'll flip your fucking ass, man. I fucking fuck you up, dude. He kept talking shit to the brother. The brother said, all right. The brother got up, walked to the back of the bus, and beat the brakes off that white boy. That brother whooped that white boy's ass. And the minute he whooped that white boy's ass, that white boy sat down and said, someone call 911, call the police. He went into victim mode immediately. All that tough shit went right out the window. His ass went right into victim mode. Call the police. So you're going to have to learn how to play chess and not checkers. You go into victim mode and you beat them to 911. And once you get the 911 call in first, then you defend yourself, so that they know that you're not the aggressor. Then you can say, hey, look, I was in danger. I had to defend myself. Then you hook that motherfucker's ass to defend yourself. See, that's what Zimmerman did. You see what I'm saying? That's what Zimmerman did. That's why his stupid ass is running around still acting like a psychopath now. Zimmerman saw Trayvon Martin, a target. He knew he was going to do something to him, but Zimmerman got on the phone first. Zimmerman got on that phone, play the victim role first. Hey, there's a guy who might be a burglar. He's in my neighborhood. He got on the phone, made that bullshit ass call, then went and confronted Trayvon and killed him. So you better learn how to play chess with these people. Whenever these white supremacists are running up to you with that bullshit, call 911 immediately. You call first because they are going to call. If you whoop their ass, they gonna call them on you. That's what they want. They want you to strike them first so they can call them on you and justify doing something to you. You call first. You call first. Then proceed to stomp that motherfucker's liver out if you can. Anyway, I digress, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to go to TariqRadio.com. Check out the pay-per-view specials. It's been a long show tonight, man. Been over an hour. Haven't done a show this long in a long time. We've been chopping it up, man. But go follow me on Twitter. If y'all not following me on Twitter, that's Tariq Nasheed on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite, T-A-R-I-Q, Elite. That's on Instagram, and follow me.